If anybody's been watching Pastor Ray's Facebook Live posts, Peter Harrison is always asking questions. And the last two times, I think you just went this week or the week next, in a couple weeks. So the last two times, Pastor Ray's been interviewing me and what it is to be a youth pastor. And then we had questions about being a discernment pastor. And he asked what it was like to be a discernment pastor. And one of the questions that Peter Harrison asked was, how do you know when God's talking to you? When did you first find that out? And I thought, you know, instead of just keeping that secret, let's have a whole sermon on that. And so hearing the voice of God is a very challenging thing, right? We all want to hear that booming voice, like when Jesus comes out of the water at the baptism, "This is my son, I am well pleased." But anybody ever heard that? No. We don't hear that booming God voice most of the time. So how did I get to a place where I could hear God's voice and know that it's God's voice? It was a long road, and I failed a lot. So Bill Suddeth was here, and I watched Bill operate with power and authority over darkness and operate in power and authority over people's lives. He was able to speak into people's lives. He knew things about people's lives. And I went, that's cool. I was like a Christian for like a year. And I thought it was so cool that this guy would know things about people and that he would tell the darkness and demonic to leave and they would go. And I should probably switch mics real quick. Mo, I'm going to switch mics real quick.
Wrong way. It's Sunday.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? No? Yes? No? Okay, we're good? I think so. Maybe. Somebody's got big ears. All right, so I watched Bill do some really cool miracles, and I watched Bill do some really cool things. And I sat back as a young Christian going, how do I get there? Asking that same question. How do I hear the voice of God? How do I know that it's the voice of God? And how do I know what to do when God tells me to do it? And so being a young Christian and excited about faith, I started to read. And if anybody knows me, I hate to read. It's not my favorite thing at all, but the Lord just sparked the fire in my life. And so the first thing that the Lord took me to was Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I pondered on that. I said, there's more up there. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So, as a young believer, I had to accept a few things. One, that God had a plan for my life. 20 years ago, when I came to the Lord, 22 years ago when I came to the Lord, I was a train wreck. I had to believe that God could take a broken, destroyed, dark person and have a plan for them. And how can God have a plan for me? Who am I? Who would I be that God would have a plan for me? I thought of myself very low and with low self-esteem and the low issues that sometimes we deal with as people. I couldn't see the value that God had in me. I had to accept, one, that God had a plan. I had to accept, two, that God could use me and that God had value in me. Those are two key factors. If you want to hear God and you want to experience the things of God, you have to accept that God has a plan for you and you have to accept that God has value in you. When you ask people, who are you, most people will struggle with that. Who are you in Christ? And they'll be like, I'm a Christian. Well, what does that mean? And they can't answer that. It is more than just coming to church on Sundays. It is more than just reading your word. When we look at the first century church, and we look at the Jewish customs, they were spending time in the supernatural. They commonly talked about angels and supernatural things happening. Well, why is that? Because that was what they expected and what they believed and what they experienced. It's when we talk about the supernatural now, we all get freaked out. You hear voices? They talk to you? You have some serious psychological issues. You should probably go see somebody. But not necessarily. God does speak to us. He speaks to us every day, and I believe that. So I had to seek, when I started seeking God with all my heart, all my emotions, all my thoughts, my time, my efforts, and when I sought him and I went after him and I chased after him, he began to develop courage. I then went on to Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And so I realized that God had a call and a plan, and that I can be the one that holds God's plan up. Because I can say, yeah, the Lord could bring me a ministry with 5,000 people in front of me, but if I walk off the platform, I'm not doing that ministry. So I realized that I had to invest in the things that God wanted me to do and to do the things that God wanted me to do. And it was a challenge, for sure. So again, at Salvation, I was a pretty wicked and vile person. Binge alcoholic, into pornography, into a life that was all about me. You know, I love my life dearly, but life was about me, not my life, not our relationship. And God began to change those things. I desired what the world had. I believed the lie, right? Working in the environmental field, I believed the lie that if you could work up the corporate ladder and you can make, you know, $250,000 a year, you're going to be the man and that's going to be great and that's what you have to do. I don't do that now. I'm just a field guy. When I got hired with the firm, I said, I just want to be a dumb field guy. I just want to go out, count plants, count trees. I want to go look at bugs and bunnies, and that's all I want to do. And that's my job. I don't do any of the upper-end project management stuff. I'm just a simple field guy. It's kind of fun for me, but anyways. I realized that sin was blocking my relationship with God. And I had a lot of sin in my life. And so when I had all that sin, there were times that I would go to the altar, and I know that I've talked about it before. I was grieving deeply about the loss of a child that I had, because when I was 19, my girlfriend at the time chose to have an abortion. My wife and I were never able to have children, so I literally put to death the only child that I would ever have. And that grieved me. The enemy was using that, and I felt so much hurt and so much pain. And to this day, I was at the altar, and I will tell you that there was a child's voice when I was praying about it, asking God to forgive me. There was a child's voice that said, Daddy, it's okay. I'll see you when you come to heaven. That is what God does. When we go to our knees and we go to prayer and we go to seek that restoration and redemption, he can speak to us there. So the first time that I ever actually heard God was during a service. There was tongues, and all of a sudden I had this thought. It's like, weird. That was weird. I just had this crazy thought. Oh, whatever. And then the person like the aisle over spoke the exact same words I was thinking. That's even freakier. Okay? Because my wife and I, again, we were new Christians. We had never been introduced to anything operating in the Spirit. I looked at my wife, I'm like, what kind of church do we just get into? And she chuckled. And she said the same thing. So this happened like 3 or 4 times. And I finally went to Pastor Ray. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but like, I hear these words in my head, and then the people speak them. He goes, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. You're hearing what the Holy Spirit's heart is. I'm like, well, really? He's like, yeah. He says, what you should be doing is when you hear those, you have to see what he's put on your heart. And I was like, in front of everybody? Right? Because that's another thing that blocks us, right? We don't want to be embarrassed by being wrong. We don't want to come to the altars. Why don't we come to the altars? Well, what are people going to think? Don't care what people think. Care what God thinks. If you got a problem, these altars are always open during worship. Come to the altar. Talk to God. Pour it out. Because this is where you're going to find the redemption and the power and the authority that God has in your life. At the altar, on your knees, in submission. So finally, I gave the interpretation for tongues, and it was like right on. Because then what happened after I gave the interpretation? Like three people came around me. That was right on. Good job. And I was like, okay. Now I'm really freaked out, but excited, right? Because we get freaked out and excited. Then later, we were at a prayer service, and I was struck by a car when I was 10 years old. Had a compound skull fracture. They said I would never be normal. They might be right. but when I landed, I actually went up over the hood of the car. I landed on my head, compound skull fracture, but I ruptured a disc in my back, and I always had back issue. The Lord was, we were in a prayer meeting, and this woman just said, hey, look, right now, there's somebody here that's had back issue from a very, very long time, from when you were a child. God wants to heal you. Now, I've had a back issue for a really, really long time. And I heard this voice say, put your hand in the middle of your back if you want to be healed. What? Put your hand in the middle of your back if you want to be healed. I said, okay. Because still new. Still, this is all like in the first year and a half of my faith. So I put my hand in the middle of my back. And my back went, it popped. And my back turned on fire. And my back was healed. And so I started to learn, not only, because you guys have to realize that I'm a scientist. I went to school for science. Everything has to be, you know, reproducible. And what I started to see was that God is reproducible when we follow what he tells us to do. God can touch us. God can speak to us when our lives can change. Soon afterwards, the Lord started opening prophetic gifts at the altar. I was praying for somebody, and what the Lord had put on my heart was absolutely horrific. And I walked over to Pastor Ray, and I said, Pastor Ray, I don't know what this is, but this is what the Lord put on my heart. And Pastor Ray knew the situation. He goes, you're right on. And I went over, and I told the person, whatever this happened to you, it was not your fault, and you need to forgive yourself because you've been blaming yourself for all these years. And the person broke down and cried because for 15 years, that person had been holding the guilt and the shame for that. And so I started to realize that through just a series of things that occurred, that God had a plan for me to be used in prophetic ministry. And it's not always easy. There are things that we see. There are things that we hear. There's demonic. There's tragic stories of abuse and drug addiction. And I can't even tell you the things that we've heard. God will use dreams. He'll use visions with me. And I will see people in the things that they're going through. And Sid will attest to that, because there's a couple times when I'm like, hey, I see this. This is what happened to you. And the person's like, uh-huh. So I'm not here to blow my own horn, guys. I'm not here to do that at all. But what I'm here to do is to tell you guys, and where we're going today is, how do we hear from God? How do we hear from him? And there's some things that I had to learn. One is submission. If you want to hear what God has to say about you, for you in your life, you need to submit to him. You need to get on your face, and you need to submit to him. How many people have heard the still, small voice of God? We need to have that be everyone at one point in time. Because the still, small voice in God is how he always communicates to us. We do want that big booming, this is my son or my daughter, but we don't get that. We get that still small voice. And so that still small voice comes out of 1 Kings 19:10 through 14. But I'm only going to read verses 12b through 14. And it says, "And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me." So if you know the story out of Kings, what Elijah was going through was Queen Jezebel went after him because he was a prophet. And she was chasing him. And he actually runs and he hides in this mountain. And the Lord tells him to go to the mountain. But when he gets there, there's a fire that comes. There's winds that come and an earthquake that comes. And the scripture says none of that was from God. So here's the deal. If you're going to experience the Lord and you're going to hear his voice, there are going to be challenges. The enemy does not want you to hear that. And there is an enemy of your soul who wants you to be a sterile Christian, wants you to come to church, but doesn't want you to hear the voice of God, doesn't want you to experience the freedom in God, doesn't want you to experience the anointing of God. He wants you to be sterile. Come, you're saved, be happy. But there's more to Christian life than that, folks. I can guarantee you that. So Elijah heard that quiet whisper after all of the things that were not from the Lord. How many things not from the Lord do we face in our life every day? A lot. If you're on any type of multimedia, you're on internet at all, everything, even billboard signs driving down the road, you know, all that stuff can be some darkness there. One of the things that Elijah had, and it's where we have to be, it's what I realized that I had to, you have to have a heart for God. Do you chase God with your heart? With all of the love that you have, with all of your emotions, with your intellect? Do you chase him, or you just, yeah, he's there, I see him? Seeing God is more than just, or experiencing God is more than just seeing him. Experiencing God is we have to chase after him. We have to take what is inside of us and empty it. We have to let the darkness that's in us, the sin, the emotions, all of that go, and we need to draw near to God, because when we draw near to God, what's scripture say? He draws near to us. Draw nearing to him and changing your life is where God really wants all of us. If we go to Samuel 3, 8 through 10, we see a similar situation, right? And I didn't cover all of it, but the third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lay down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Are you a servant of the Most High? Are you willing to say to God, "Speak, I am listening"? That's a hard question. Because if you say, speak, Lord, I am listening, well, what if the Lord then sends you on a missionary trip? What if the Lord tells you to go to a restaurant and pray for somebody you don't know in the middle of that restaurant? It's happened multiple times. What if the Lord is telling you that you need to go correct somebody? What if the Lord is telling you that you need to correct yourself? You know, the Lord takes me to the woodshed frequently, more frequently than I like sometimes. But recently, you know, there were some things going on, and I was talking to the Lord, and he's like, no, I have you where I want you, and you will continue to do what I've asked you to do. I said, oh, Lord, I'm tired. And then he said to me, and you've been doing it in your own strength. And when you stop doing it in your own strength and you start doing it in mine, you'll be all right and things will be easier. And I went, you're right. Again. And still. So, one of the things that Eli realized, and one of the things that we have to have for us, is we have to have brothers and sisters in Christ around us. Right? Because Eli is the one to put it together, right? He says, oh, the Lord is calling you. When we do not have brothers and sisters in Christ around us, we can miss what God is calling us to. Does that make sense? The really cool thing with all of this is if God has a call on your life and God has more for you than where you are now, he is persistent. Was he not with Samuel? He did not give up until he figured it out. God did not give up on me till I figured it out. It only took me 32 years. I figure that's a pretty good bell curve, you know? We need to realize as believers that that relationship we have with close friends, that relationship we have with God, he will come to us. Ask your friends, what do you think the Lord's telling you? Maybe your friends need to get a little more spirit in them, or however. Maybe it's time to start actually having those conversations among your groups, your peer groups, and start, you know, how can we draw nearer to God? What do we need to do? So, that's not this message, but we can talk about that later if anybody has questions. So God uses a voice, a still small voice. Sometimes he will call to us. The next way that God can speak to us, and he's done this with me, is dreams and visions. Dreams and visions can freak people out, right? Acts 2, 17 and 18. This also comes from Joel 2, 28. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. It is not just for Pastor Ray and I and anyone else that operates in this. It is for all of us to have God pour out his spirit upon us so that we can talk about. Speaking prophecy or speaking prophetic is really just a matter of talking about what the Lord's heart is for a situation. Most of the time when I'm doing discernment ministry, it's about the prophetic side of that is about the past. It can be about the future. It can be about the present. It could be about a warning. For me, generally, I operate in the past to help people get healed, to move forward in the future. I very seldom walk up to somebody and go, you're going to be a missionary. I sometimes know that somebody's going to be a missionary, but I don't tell them that. The Lord never gives me permission. So dreams can be very powerful. Dreams can be very scary. I know a couple people have come to me with dreams. We pray about them. There's a very common dream right now, and I'm going to see if this resonates with anybody. I've had 5 people in the last 6 months come to me with this dream. And the dream is the person is standing, and it's all black and white. In front of them, there's a road. That would be the one. And then, and then in front of them, it's all color, and you can see Jesus standing off in the distance. This is a common dream that's being spoken to non-believers and to those that are stuck. And it's about people stepping onto the road. They're afraid to leave the darkness and to step into what God has for them. And they're stuck. So if you have that dream, whether it be online or here, come see me. We can help you. It's a pretty cool dream, right? I think it is. So when you have dreams and you want help with them, if you could remember them when you wake up, write down everything, colors, numbers, people, all that stuff, houses, buildings, cars, we can help walk you through what some of that means. But dreams can be a very powerful thing that God uses. And why does God use our dreams, even our visions? Because it's typically a time when we are at rest, and it's typically a time when we're not thinking and God can talk to us. How many of us are overthinkers? Yeah. So sometimes it's the only place that God can speak to you without you putting your voice in his ear. So anyways. The third way that I learned that I needed, or how I learned to grow in this ministry, was scripture. You have to read scripture, guys. You have to read scripture, and you have to pray over scripture. You have to read scripture. Did I mention I hate reading? I have to take the time, and I have to do it. Because 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What work does God have for you? There are times when you will read scripture and you go, when did they put that in there? Because it's something going on in your life. Anybody else had that problem? I have. God will speak to you through scripture. He continually does that. Your situation, where you're at, where he may want you to go. You know, for me, it was that the Jeremiah scripture was like, wow, this is really cool. How do I draw closer to you? And I started asking questions and I started seeking. And as I sought, God continued to provide answers. Knowing God's word allows you to test our thoughts and our emotions. Anybody ever have thoughts that are not good? Bad thoughts? Dark thoughts? Yeah. Well, I'm driving down the road and I'm like, it's like drive off the road. And I'm like, what? What? What are you talking about? Get out of here, Satan. You ain't got room today. You know, there are times when we have bad thoughts. When you're dealing with spiritual issues and you're dealing, the enemy is always going to attack you in your thought life first. Scripture is how you fight that. Right? When Jesus got tempted, what did he say every time? It is written. It's written. And what did he say? This, this, and this. So you have to take scripture when you're having bad days, good days. It is written. Lord, it is written. When I draw near to you, you draw near to me. Lord, it is written that you have a plan and a purpose for me in my life. Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, if I resist the devil, he will flee. It is written. And you have to stand on that, and you have to trust it, and you have to believe it. The fourth thing that I realized is I had to have people around me to speak into my life. We as people have challenges with other people. And sometimes dealing with people is an absolute task. And maybe it's my own weaknesses, my own sins, whatever the case may be. But what I realized is I needed to have believers around me. I never trusted people. There are men in this church, there are men outside of this church that I trust. When I'm having bad days, I go to them, right? Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. If you want to have a life that is complete, you have to put people around you that will speak life into you. Not death, life. We all have plenty of people around us that speak death into our lives. Work, just random people, but people around you that will speak life, that will give you godly advice. Godly advice is so hard to find. Just do whatever you want. You'll be fine. That's okay. That's sins. Everybody's doing it. You can do it too. Really? Anyways. I realized that I had to have believers around me. And I had to have people around me that were not soft and fluffy, that would get on my side and just walk with me. I needed to have people around me that challenged me. Pastor Ray challenges me. I challenge Pastor Ray too. Or maybe I'm a challenged Pastor Ray. I'm not sure how that works out. But Pastor Ray is a man that has challenged me to continue to seek, to continue to grow. He's continued to, you know, discuss scripture, and it's helped me grow as a believer, and it's helped me grow as a pastor. And that's a good thing. We need to have people to do that in our lives. When we have believers around us, they're going to speak prophetic words sometimes. And again, those prophetic words can be future, past, present, warning, or affirmation. When people hear from the Lord and they're speaking into your life, take all of your woundedness, take all of your brokenness, and put it on pause. And you have to listen. Because there are days when we need to hear truth. There are days when we need to hear about the warnings and the things that are coming. I have given several warnings to people. If you continue down this road, this will happen. They continue down this road. This happened. That was a prophetic warning. It was also a common sense warning, sometimes. But I've also experienced people that come up alongside and say, hey, you know, I've just seen some really good changes in you. I've really seen God working in you. Your word really touched me. That's all positive affirmation too. We need to have that. But you need to have people around you that will speak truth and life in your life everywhere that you go. So the next thing that I realized, just like Elijah, was I needed to hear the same thing. Or there are times when the Lord is speaking to me that he speaks the same thing multiple times. Right? God is a God of repetition. And there are times when God has ministry or God has things in our heart that we need to deal with, that we need to deal with people, that God will tell me multiple times, whether it be in a session or in my own private life. I remember when I started to step into discernment ministry, the Lord was like, you need to slow down. I was like, Lord, let's go get him. I'm going to go get the devil. He's like, no, you need to go slow down. But Lord, I'm ready. Let's go. No, you need to slow down. He would tell me like 5 or 6 times. And then he doinked me in the forehead. I don't know. But we need to have the realization that there are times that the Lord will tell us certain things. He'll tell us multiple times. If God is telling you to do something multiple times, you should probably do it. I'm just saying. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, for which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. God has a plan and a purpose, and God is going to tell you what that plan and the purpose is when you listen. And when we're not in that plan and the purpose, and we're not in God's will, he's going to try to correct us and to get us into God's will. There were times that my sin prevented me from being in God's will. What happened then? God pours out his grace. I go to the altar. There's repentance. And then I'm back into God's will, and I start moving forward again, and then I take a sidestep, and yeah. But God's grace, God's mercy, and God's desire for you to have a life in him, because he created you for good works. There is only one way for you to get the good works that God has for you. He has to tell you. Right? Is that logical? That's not even like spiritual. That's a logical thing. I have a plan for you. I need to tell you what it is. There are people that will believe that God's not speaking to you today. That God's giftings are done. That was for the first century church. Well, God doesn't stop. It hasn't ended. We're still here. God's still doing things. If God has something for you to do, he's going to tell you what it is. And if you're not listening, he's going to tell you multiple times. And the final thing that God does, and this is always interesting, is you'll have peace. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring us peace. You will have peace in the midst of the craziest things in life if that is what God has called you to do. I know missionaries, and I've talked to missionaries who have been in hostile areas that are like, it's all right, God's got this. I'm like, dude, there's people looking to kill you. It'll be all right. Peace comes from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, dwells within us. The Holy Spirit has a plan, is the one that talks to us, is the go-between to the Heavenly Father. Do we listen? Where's your peace today? What are the things that God has? If you're in a place where you don't have peace about anything going on in your life, you might be out of the will of God. And God may have something more for you to do. And it may be something for you to seek. I'm not trying to condemn anybody, and I'm not trying to find fault. But if you want to have that peace and that joy that God has for you, you should really evaluate where you're at. You should really evaluate, how do we get to a place to draw nearer to him? And the last thing, although I don't have a slide for it, is we definitely need to pray. Guys, you need to have a life of prayer. I realized, Peter, that was one of the things that I had to have, was a life of prayer. In prayer, Scripture can come alive. I've had God speak to me using Scripture. As I'm sitting there praying, the Scripture comes to mind. I'm like, whoa. And then you'll go look at the Scripture. I've had times when I'm praying, and God will give me Scripture number, and I'll go look it up, and it'll be the situation that I'm in, and it gives me direction on what to do. Prayer is absolutely essential. A life made right in Christ is absolutely essential if you want to hear God move in your life. I believe everybody wants to hear it. It takes time. It takes effort. It is a challenge at times. And just remember, there is a darkness out there. You know? Oh, and I did forget one thing. That still small voice that you guys hear, that still small voice for me is my own voice in my head. It is, we all have a self voice. We all talk to ourselves in our head. Do you guys talk to yourself in your head, or am I the only one? Sid, I might need to see you this week. But we have a voice in our own minds, right? And we talk to ourselves. We're driving down the road. We don't want to talk out loud when there's nobody in the car. People think you're crazy. So we talk in our own heads. That's the voice that God uses for me many times. But the voice that he uses, the way that he speaks through that voice is different than the way that I speak. Thank God. Anyways. God speaks to us multiple ways. For God's sakes, he used Balaam's donkey. Don't ever be in a place so bad that God's got to use a donkey to speak to you. Get on your knees, start praying, you know. Because hearing a donkey would freak me out. I'm just saying. Get on your knees, start seeking him. It can be that still small voice, your own personal voice in your head. It can be scripture. It could be dreams and visions. It could be fellow believers, prophetic words from the believers. It could be repetitious thoughts. It could be peace that you have. And, you know, prayer is a big piece of all of that. God's hope, at least I believe God's hope, is that all of us would change our lives. God wants us to be more like him than like us. And there's only one way to do that. And that is time and effort in him. And then as we are in him, he can begin to change who we are. He can change our brokenness because he's made us who we are. But he can change our brokenness so that we don't have to live in the garbage that this world offers. We can live in the peace and the comfort and the joy that the Lord has. Amen.